Now, if you are joining us mid-sermon series, you'll probably be helped if I give some introduction or description of what we mean by this label, the 5G life. Simply put, the 5G life is a way to talk about Christian discipleship. It is a vocabulary for us to embrace as we seek to understand what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The aim of the 5G life, quite simply, is to make us more like Jesus. That we were called by God, we were redeemed by Christ for the purpose of being conformed to the image of God's Son. And so, tracking with the 5G life, we're aiming to become more like Jesus. The assertion being made in this sermon series is that there are particular habits, five particular habits, that will contribute, that will help you become more like Christ. Here they are again. We need to take, first of all, God time. Secondly, we need gather time. Thirdly, we need group time. Fourthly, give time. And fifthly and finally, go time. The connection between our first two habits is illustrated, and we used this last Sunday, the connection between the first two is illustrated by the safety instructions you receive when you travel on an airplane. You are always instructed to give yourself oxygen before attempting to give oxygen to others. So what we have in God time is our own personal intake of spiritual oxygen. We take in spiritual oxygen when we meet with God personally and privately through prayer and through the study of His Word. And then, having strengthened yourself with your God time, you are now in a position to gather, to assist others in their intake of spiritual oxygen. We could say that whenever we assemble this, whenever we have gather time, there are essentially two types of people who are present. Those who have oxygen to give and those who need it. There are times when you gather for worship because you are desperate for the spiritual oxygen that you receive when you come to a gathering like this. But there are other times where you gather, I hope, because you are strong, you are filled, you have spiritual oxygen to impart and to give to others. Either way, whichever is your situation today or usually, I hope you are able to see just how important a gathering like this is to a person's growth in Christ-likeness. For those who are struggling spiritually, I want to remind you that gathering with other Christians in a context like this is one of the primary ways that God has designed to build you up. Sure, we might have a list of 20 or 30 things that we say contributes to our growth and grace, but when we turn to the Scriptures, we see that God has designed just a few. We call them means of grace in the Reformed Presbyterian tradition. And one of the means of grace is corporate worship. Now, some of you are currently enjoying a time of ease. Some of you are experiencing great peace in your relationship with Jesus Christ. Well, here then is your opportunity to encourage and build up others. For when we are strong in Christ, it's not an opportunity to flex our muscles and show everyone just how well we're doing. When we're strong in our faith, that is the time to do some lifting for other people. And this is the burden of the author of Hebrews as we look at the 10th chapter. The passage we're studying begins in verse 19, and if you're following along, you'll see it begins with a transitional phrase, "Therefore, brothers." Therefore, brothers. And so, of course, whenever we see the word therefore, we need to examine and look and see what it's there for. We need to find out what is said before that the author is connecting it to. Well, it's very difficult to summarize 9 chapters in Hebrews, so let me just give my best go at it. In light of who Jesus is, in light of what Jesus has done for us, and in light of what Jesus continues to do as our high priest, there is a particular response for God's people. And the author of Hebrews summarizes our obligation using 3 consecutive exhortations. And if your Bibles are open, you can see them clearly. Verse 22, let us draw near. Verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. Verse 24, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You can see the ordering of these exhortations affirms what we have already said, that before we can effectively build one another up, we must first draw near to God. Before we can have fruitful gather time, we must first have meaningful God time. So the author of Hebrews, when he exhorts us to draw near, you'll notice he does so with some very important qualifying statements. We are to draw near with a true heart. We are to draw near in full assurance of faith. Draw near with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. What is being said there? It is not enough that we physically draw near to God. It's not enough that we physically gather. It's not enough to go through the motions of religion. For our drawing near to God to have any effect or change, we must do so with a true heart and with a full assurance of faith. To put it another way, our external ritual must be accompanied by inward reformation. Our external ritual must be accompanied by inward reformation. The second exhortation in our passage, let us hold fast the confession of our hope, also comes with a qualification to do so without wavering. Without wavering. And I find this to be a very relevant prescription for our day, for 2018. Because we live in a world, as you know, where values seem to be constantly shifting. We can clearly see that the normal values that were accepted 20 years ago are not precisely the values we hold today. We live in an age where truth is often regarded as relative. And so in a culture that is constantly shifting its values, the Christian church is called to remember that our standards have not yet changed. Nor do I ever expect they will. Because the gospel that was proclaimed by the apostles is the same gospel that you and I are called to proclaim. We hold to the confession of faith. We hold to the faith once delivered to us by those first apostles in the early church. We hold to that without wavering. The third exhortation, you have likely already noted, is the one that most closely fits our 5G principle of gather time. And the reason why I like this particular passage to represent our principle of gathering is because you'll see the author is very careful to keep a tether between our approach and our communion with God and our assembling and our communion with other Christians. Because when you think of it, it is theoretically possible to draw near to God with a true heart and to hold fast the confession of your hope without ever getting out of bed in the morning. The truth is, you do not need to come to St. Andrew's Kirk in order to draw near to God. Some of you are thinking, what am I doing here? I could have stayed in bed and worshipped with Pastor Pillow and Reverend Sheets. Why am I here? We need to gather in this manner if we are to be obedient to the exhortation of Hebrews 10:24. We cannot obey the exhortation in Hebrews 10:24 unless we do what we're doing today. Consider how to stir up one another to love and to good works. That's the exhortation. And this is not something we can do at home alone. And this explains the qualification given by the author of Hebrews about those who need to meet together. He says more fully, let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Quite simply, Christians wishing to please God must never cease in the practice of regularly gathering with other Christians. You cannot be all that God wants you to be without answering this exhortation, without gathering regularly with other Christians. And so Sunday morning, the Lord's Day, is a natural gathering point for Christians. When we gather, we're called to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. You might be interested to know that the Greek word that's translated stir up, literally translated, means to incite, to incite. And now we normally use that word negatively. We say that so-and-so's words or so-and-so's actions incited a kind of riot. We use the word incite negatively. But the author of Hebrews suggests that the gather time of Christians should serve to incite us in a very positive way, where we influence one another with our love and with our good deeds. The idea here is that our enthusiasm, our collective enthusiasm for the things of God and our influence upon one another is helped when we gather like this. Let's look at that exhortation again. Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. For the gather time to have its desired effect, those who gather must be engaged in some kind of consideration. As you can see here, our consideration, and this is huge, our consideration is not about what we want. Our consideration is about what others need. And this is a huge pivot point for many of us, because many of us are here this morning for us. We're here to get something. We're here to gain something. And the way we measure what happens here, the way we score what happens here, is what I get, what I receive, what I gain. But we look at the passage, and the consideration is not about what we want. Our consideration is what others need. Now, it is normal and it is good that you've come here this morning seeking to get something. It's normal and good that you want to receive something. I want you to leave here feeling that you received something. I want you to leave here feeling that you've blessed in a way that you would have missed out if you would have slept in or gone out somewhere else. And yet, in your desire to gain something from this gathering, I don't want you to miss your obligation to contribute something to those who have gathered. The word consider suggests to me the need for a strategy when it comes to building up one another. That we just don't come to worship willy-nilly, let's just see what happens. But we are to consider, we are to strategize, we are to plan how we're going to encourage, how we're going to build up one another. And I want to suggest this morning that our consideration of others will be greatly helped by praying. Praying about how we build up and encourage others. Pray about whom to encourage. Now, I should give you a little bit of a warning as I say, pray about whom you should encourage. Because I, in my own experience, when I do this, I am almost always surprised by the persons that the Lord puts upon my mind and my heart when I pray about those who need building up. What I find is that my natural person gravitates towards certain people and certain needs. But when I pray about how I ought to build up the body of Christ, God places on my mind and in my heart persons that I wouldn't have immediately thought of. Once we have considered such things, once we have a strategy in place, once we have a plan to encourage and build up others, we still need an opportunity to do so. And the author of Hebrews, you'll see, indicates you'll miss those opportunities to help others when you neglect to meet together. It might seem like the author of Hebrews is being hard on a group of people. He says, don't neglect meeting together. And he could have left it at that. But he doesn't. He says, as is the habit of some. And presumably those who are reading the book of Hebrews know who the some are. And so I don't think the author of Hebrews is being unduly harsh. And I don't want to sound unkind as we bring to mind persons who would regularly absent themselves from a gathering such as this. It simply makes sense that if you have a responsibility to encourage other Christians, if you have a responsibility to build one another up, it only makes sense that we would show up for the purpose of doing this. That we would gather with great regularity so that we could better get to know one another. And I would further assert that the ongoing health of this congregation depends upon the regular gathering of her people. This is how God has designed it to work. The Apostle Paul gives us an analogy, and that there's no other way to read it than this. Paul gives an analogy. He says, you are like individual body parts. And the only way you can be of any usefulness as an individual body part is if you are what? If you're connected to the body. An ear is only useful attached to a living, breathing human being. An eye, a hand, a foot, and so on. We are, as Paul says, individual body parts, and we're useless in helping people grow in their faith unless we are connected as the body of Christ. And yet, if you look closely at verse 25 of our passage, you'll see that the warning about absenteeism isn't primarily about what we need. In context, the warning about absenteeism has more to do with what we provide for others in gatherings like this. One of my favorite Christian bloggers, and he's a Canadian, by the way, Tim Challies, he says it well, commenting on this passage. He says, this passage does not warn us that when we skip church, we put ourselves at risk. Rather, it warns us that when we skip church, we put other people at risk. Will you be blessed by your gathering here Sunday by Sunday? I hope so. I truly hope so. I'm praying that you are blessed by coming here. But I also think we need to come at this from a different angle. I think our gathering ought to have its emphasis on helping others make progress in their pursuit of Christ-likeness. So here in our bulletin and on our wall, we have a mission statement. Pursuing Christ-likeness and community transformation according to the Word of God. But the emphasis that I see us being called to is that your pursuit of Christ-likeness is my business. And my pursuit of being more like Jesus is your business. It's one another's business. We have a vested interest in the whole body being healthy and functioning properly. So it's not, oh, I can miss a few Sundays because I'm having great God time. If you're having great God time, come and share that blessing with us. If you've been feasting on the Word of God in private, come and share what you've been eating. We owe it to one another. Now, for this to happen, and I'm not thinking of anyone in particular. In fact, I'm going to fail in this next exhortation because I have a plane to catch at 2:30 today. So I'm going to be terrible in fellowship after church today. So I'm picking on myself as I give this. Here's what I think has to change for some of us. Regular attendance at worship won't be enough if you show up at 10:32 and you slip away right after the benediction. Now, 10:32 is being generous. I saw a few slip in more like 11:06 and 11:01. But I'm giving some of you the benefit of the doubt. If you come every Sunday, but you come at 10:32 and you leave right after the benediction, you cannot fulfill what Hebrews 25 is asking you. Your great opportunity to stir up another person to love and good deeds can't be done while you're singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." You can't assist another Christian while I'm preaching or someone's reading scripture. Our opportunity to stir up one another to love and good deeds has to happen in the minutes before we gather for worship and the minutes in which follow the benediction in the courtyard and in here. If we're going to take the exhortation of Hebrews 10:24 and 25 seriously, I hope you'll recognize the best opportunity for you to do this is between 10:15 and 10:29, and between 11:40-ish and whenever you want to go for lunch. What I want you to see is that the body of Christ needs you, and that when you're missing, we are less than. When a bunch of you are missing, we are less than. We need you. You bless us when you're here. You encourage us when you're here. When I look out, it usually takes me almost all the way through the sermon to figure out who all is here. And I want you to know, I'm encouraged as I look and I see you. It heartens me to see my family. Let me just close on a personal note. Many of you know that my mother passed away this last December. And at the age of 45, I thought it was a bit young to be without both parents. But then it occurred to me that I have something that is hugely blessing me. I have another family. This is my other family. And I don't say that in a flippant way, but in the most deep and profound and sincere way I can think of. I need you. And I think if you look around, you'd be encouraged by others in this gathering. And I pray that as you feasted upon the Word of God in private, as you feasted upon His presence in private, come to this gathering and share some of what you've tasted. If you've tasted and seen that the Lord is good, come to a gathering like this and share. We gather together not just for ourselves. We gather to be a blessing to others. We gather to sharpen one another. In Jesus' name, amen.